Good evening and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. It's a blessing to be in the studio with Sandy and Tara and Shelley. You can't see them, but they're all beautiful and they're smiling. We have been blessed to be doing Tara Rye's Bible study called Wishing Forward, Seven Moments Jesus Prayed. And I know that prayer is powerful, and why not learn from the great I am?
Amen. 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 That's really good. Oh, that was so good. Okay, I could just sit there and just go to sleep. That was so good. You know, at this point in the ministry, the disciples have learned that there is a cost to following Jesus. There is a definite sacrifice. They have learned what happens when they begin plowing through to reach other people for Christ. Mm. And one day as they sat down and they were watching, Jesus was praying. And as he was praying, one of the disciples, when he finished, looked at him and he said, "Lord, will you teach us to pray the way John taught his disciples to pray?" And so Jesus looked out at his disciples and he said, "All right, when you pray, I want you to say something like, 'Father, who are in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil.'" And Jesus looked out at them and he goes, "Consider it like this. Think of it. Suppose one of you had a friend that came asking at midnight and said, 'Will you lend me 3 loaves of bread? Because my friend's on a long journey and I have nothing to put before him.' And the one inside the house calls out, 'Don't bother me. My doors are locked, my children are asleep, and I can't get up. I'll disturb everybody.' Jesus says, 'I'll tell you that even though he's a friend and he won't get up, he will get up because of the man's boldness, and give it to him. And I say to you, ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks, it is given. For all who seek, find. And all who knock at the door is wide. And so, if one of you had a son come to you and said, 'Father, will you give me a fish?' would offer him a snake instead? No. Or if your son said, 'Can I have an egg?' would you offer him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to do good to your children, how much more so the Father will give the Holy Spirit to the one who asks him." That's today's passage. And I'll tell you, this has been so sweet on me, like you would not believe. And really been meditating and pondering just the power of prayer and the drawing near to God and really being in his presence. And as I was preparing for this particular series, I wanted to share something in particular that's related to why I tell the stories the way I do, okay? You know, because some people would say, "Well, you're telling it in your own words. You're not necessarily reading it from Scripture." And why do I use that method? And it's because it's I'm trying to communicate it in the heart language of what most people prefer and how they learn. And I was talking with J.O. Terry. He's a retired missionary from the Philippines, and he is my mentor, my field rep for my working on my dissertation. And he was telling me that there is a process that must take place, that in order for us to really be effective as leaders, that it's a process of passing on in a way that people can understand. And he said, "I have a great article I'd love for you to read." And I thought, well, I want to read the article. Send it to me, J.O. And so he emailed me this article. And Chris Ammons is the missionary that wrote this in the 1990s. And he is a biblical storyteller on the field with, and I can't even pronounce the tribe that he's in with. So it's a people group that's a non-reading people group. They don't have books and things like that. And he said, typically in most situations, in teaching situations, we think first-generation thinkers. Okay, that's what he called it. We're a first-generation thinker. A first-generation thinker thinks that if I stand up and I tell you something and somebody comes up to me and says, "Good job," then I have succeeded. because that is success for a first generation thinker. I have done well. Okay. All right. And then you have the second generation of thinking. A second generation thinker is not going to be thinking so much about their ability to tell it, like me just telling the story to you. If, you know, focusing in on just me telling the story is first generation thinking, okay? Second generation thinking is thinking, okay, I have Shelley, Sabrina, and Sandy sitting in here and you listening over podcast or the radio. I have to think about, does it make sense to you? Because if it doesn't make sense to you, I'm not having an impact on the second generation of what I've taught. Okay? I'm the first generation because I'm the one that communicated it. You would be the second generation. Ultimately, if we are truly effective in what we do, we will hit the third generation. And that's when you're really, really good. A third generation thinker thinks about the follower of the one that's learning from them. So my thoughts are, when Shelley, Sabrina, and Sandy are listening, and you on the radio, it's not so much can I tell it well enough that you can say, good job, Tara. It's not so much that I can tell it well enough that you say, well, I got it. It's I want to tell it in such a way so that when you turn around and you leave, and you're no longer listening to this podcast, and we're no longer here in this room, you go out and say, I can do that. And if I can tell it to you in my own words, the reality is you can too. And that's impacting the third generation. And as a teacher, that's what we want. And today's prayer model of this story, this particular thing, is the perfect example of the impact of third generation. Okay? So Jesus modeled every kind of prayer there possibly was. He did every kind of prayer. So let's list out different times that we know of, that you guys can think of in Scripture, that Jesus prayed. When did he pray?
He prayed before he was going to the cross.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He did. Okay, so anguish.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Father, take this cup from me.
Yeah.
It's not your will, my will.
He did.
Your will be done.
Yeah. Okay, think of another time that you can think of that Jesus prayed. Did he pray with his disciples?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
He did.
For their faith to be increased.
He did. He prayed with his disciples. Did Jesus go off by himself?
Mm-hmm.
He always did.
What about in the temple? He was teaching. We can assume that he did the traditional prayers in the temple amongst the religious leaders because he would have followed tradition. He didn't sin. So there's an assumption he would have prayed in that example. Okay, so
Breaking bread.
He mm-hmm. did the Lord's Supper. So they're, you know, at the dinner table, okay? All these different times the disciples are sitting there and they're watching. And they're watching the first generation of Jesus praying, okay? They're the second generation. Mm-hmm. They're the generation that are listening and listening to what he had to pray. And they're thinking, I want to get it. I want to know how to do what you're doing. I want to know how to pray the way you're praying, because they wanted that change to happen in them. We are the third generation. We're the followers of those disciples. And that through Jesus's model and how that prayer has impacted, that has got to be our goal in everything we do when it comes to Christendom. And we'll actually see that unfold even as we go through, and we're going to look at this, what he tells them to pray, how we can see how the prayer Jesus gave even builds generational change. Okay? It's not just us. It's beyond us. Okay? Mm. I mean, it never stays where we're at. And one of the things that I didn't intend to come in and teach on generational thinking, you know, as we're talking through prayer, but as I was reading that and my mentors teaching me and growing me, I am reading and writing and praying about this. And I thought, Lord, that's exactly what I'm trying to do and write this Bible study. I'm trying to establish third generation prayer warriors for the kingdom of God. Mm. Now, do you have any recall, y'all think, at any time that Jesus told his disciples how to go preach? Does he tell them how to preach?
Preach?
Yeah.
Yeah, preach.
I don't know if I remember. I don't think so.
He does not. He does not. He never, nobody asked him, teach us to preach. Lord, teach us to pray and increase our faith. He never ever goes out and says, this is how you preach. He never actually goes out and tells them, this is how you teach. He modeled it and lived it and walked it. And so that they learned by following his example. But when it came to prayer, he taught them. And he taught them several times. This is taught, you know, they believe that the Matthew and the Luke passages actually happened at different times, and that this is like the second teaching of it. Okay. And so they believe like one happened at the second Passover, one happened at like the third Passover. So different.
Because the book of Luke was written to the Greeks, right? So did the Greeks pray differently than, you know what I mean? Is it hallowed be, is it the same prayer in all three books?
No, in Matthew it is written a little bit different. It has more of a doxology included in it. It's a little shorter in the book of Luke. Yeah. Okay. And so when it comes to storying, I'll tell you, one of the things I've messed up on is that I end up combining, you know, it's like, which book am I storying from? I got to remember whichever passage I'm in. But it's amazing how this process of going through and thinking on this. And so I'm going to ask you guys, I want you to think in your life, who have you watched pray? And you're not allowed to say anybody in this room. Seriously, who in your life have you seen that as they've prayed and you've listened, you thought, I want to learn how to pray like that?
Pastor Charles.
Okay. What is it about Pastor Charles that has done that for you?
Oh, it's just so genuine and just so heartfelt. You just feel his love as he's praying.
I love it. That's awesome. How about you guys?
I think it, you know, a lot of it, when you're referring, you know, or bringing up a pastor, you know, it's like they, you know, just to watch them, you know, in front of the congregation and just trying to, you know, engage throughout the core, you know, through the whole service. But I kind of think, like, for me, like the worship part of the word is really impactful for me.
Okay, so just listening to worship music that draws you into to prayer.
I mean, and when you have a worship pastor who you know he's not just singing, that he truly is worshiping with every, you know, breath he takes. I mean, there is a difference.
Yeah, there is.
And I mean, that is so engaging for me.
Okay, so for both of you, I hear you talking about intimacy.
Yeah, I think, you know, you can tell it's from the heart, no matter who's praying.
I love it.
Instead of a ritual.
Which is really easy to do.
Yep.
Yes, absolutely.
How about you, Sabrina?
I don't really have anyone. Because, I mean, I guess all the pastors that I listen to, I like their prayers. But it's not like, oh, that's better than, you know, I don't know.
That's
don't
okay. Really that's have okay. Anyone. That's all right. Do you know, for me, it was Mary Ann Bridgewater. She has a book out that's called The House of Prayer, and she's a prayer leader at my home church in Houston, Texas, where I would say that's the place that really grew me up. And I remember going in, her classroom was in the weight room, and it was the single girls, you know, young college, you know, 20-something girls. And going in there, and one, listening to her teach, and I was like, oh my goodness, wow, power and authority. But when she prayed, I wanted to weep. And I could tell she knew something I did not know. And I did not want to leave her presence without having that. I mean, that's how impactful her prayers were in my life. And so I was almost annoying, you know, and that I can remember one time her even asked me, it's like, why do you keep calling me and asking me these questions? She wasn't meaning it in a bad way. It's just, and I told her, it's like, literally, I see Jesus in you and I want it and I'm going to do whatever I can to take it. Just like, you know, she should have said, you know, you can't have it. You got to get your own. But that's what happened. These disciples, imagine them sitting there, and Jesus is praying. And finally, one of them gets up enough courage, and he's sitting there. And he, the reason why he said, like John the Baptist prayed, taught his disciples, because rabbinic tradition, it was not uncommon for them to ask the rabbi or for a rabbi to teach his disciples a rote prayer. Here, you need to go and pray this. And so they had tradition where the rabbi would give them a set prayer to pray. And that's really even still a part of Christendom today, and that I'm leading out the prayer for our church. And I had somebody email me recently and say, just give me the guide. If you give me the guide on how to pray, I will pray exactly what you give me. And because some people need that, because it helps them become the springboard. So I can give them, you know, scriptures to pray over certain aspects, and they will pray those scriptures faithfully. And because that is what ministers to their learning style. Mm-hmm. And so that was Jewish tradition. But when John the Baptist started teaching his disciples to pray, he started including something that was different. The rabbis' rituals would have praise and recognition of God and stuff. John started incorporating the petitions. And you would take that, think about, I mean, this is a long time ago, but what, probably 7 months ago, we talked about when John the Baptist is, you brood of vipers. You know, I mean, he's chewing them out. You know, you need to repent the fruit of repentance, you know, and produce the fruit of repentance. He was teaching them how to ask God for cleansing and teaching them how to get right with God. Mm-hmm. And so because John had taught that to the disciples, they're thinking, we want to know how Jesus would do that. Is it the way the rabbis would do it? Is it the way John would do it? And the awesome thing is if you were to take the rabbi's prayers and John's, it's kind of the beauty of both and what Jesus gave that day and the Lord's prayer. I mean, it's the best of both worlds. And we're going to take that more in depth over the next 3 weeks and break it down and examine what it is that we're looking at. It's incredible what he does in this short prayer. And so we're hoping to hear from you. If you have questions, I'd love to talk with you. And you can reach us at tararye.com or cultivatinghearts.org. And we're just so glad that you're listening. And you're going to want to come back because we're going to look at the breakdown of the process and the order of what even our prayers need to have. And it doesn't mean that our prayers are right or wrong if it's not exact, because it's just meant to be a guide. But it's good to see how Jesus did it. And like Sabrina started us off at the beginning, you know, what better way to learn than from the one that we're praying to? Amen. God bless.